From NPR, it's Latino USA.
Jazz is an American product. Jazz is part of the American experience. The Latin rhythms are part of the Afro-Caribbean process. The rhythmic aspect of it were rhythms that were developed essentially in Cuba, partly in Puerto Rico, partly in Brazil. Now, in New York, here comes Dizzy Gillespie and says, I want to take that experience, incorporate it into what we play, which is jazz.
That's the late legendary percussionist Ray Barreto speaking on our program in the year 2000 about the development of Latin jazz in the 1940s and 50s. On today's program, we highlight three musicians who are taking Latin jazz to new heights in this century from Cuba, Puerto Rico, and Colombia. That's coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us.
From the Latino USA News Desk, I'm Katie Davis. The violence in Mexico shocks almost daily, but an incident last week stands out. A tractor trailer pulled in front of a campaign van in the border state of Tamaulipas. Then more than a dozen armed men opened fire. And when they were done, the candidate for governor of the state was dead. Rodolfo Torre was expected to win for the Institutional Revolutionary Party, or PRI. Instead, funerals were held for him, his bodyguards, and aides. The president of Mexico, Felipe Calderón, spoke to the country and blamed drug cartels for the murders. He vowed that the July 3rd elections in 12 Mexican states would not be canceled.
It's an event not only against one candidate from a political party, but also against democratic institutions. And because of this, it's an event that demands a unified and firm response.
There were other killings in these past days. 9 dead in an attack on a drug rehabilitation clinic in the state of Durango. And a well-known Mexican singer, Sergio Vega, El Chaca, was murdered on his way to a concert in Sinaloa. In a crisis of a different sort, a lingering crisis, it was a year ago that Honduran President Manuel Zelaya was rousted from his sleep in his pajamas and expelled from the country. Honduras was immediately isolated by Central and Latin American leaders, but many have reestablished ties now, even though Zelaya remains in exile. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is one of those who has urged that Honduras be fully recognized again. In a disturbing echo, though, the current president reports getting not-so-subtle threats lately. He has received more than one message saying, "Get your pajamas ready." Here in the United States, a news bulletin had a Cold War feel. 11 people were charged with leading a Russian spy ring.
Moscow and Washington say they hope that the FBI arrests of alleged Russian agents will not affect relations between the two.
This came days after the Russian president shared a hamburger and foreign policy talk with Barack Obama at Ray's Hellburgers outside Washington, D.C. One of the alleged spies was on staff at El Diario La Prensa, New York City's leading Spanish-speaking newspaper. She is Peruvian by birth but holds American citizenship and wrote opinion pieces for El Diario for 20 years. The press delighted in the details, which read like a movie script, a welcome break from the disaster in the Gulf and the war in Afghanistan. And here's a good story for this week, a story about equality and American ideals. If all goes well in a final vote, domestic workers in New York State will soon have the right to a 40-hour work week. In addition, they will get at least one day off a week, and yes, even overtime. Advocates for New York's 200,000 domestic workers say their next step is an education campaign to make sure employees and employers know about the new rights. And another education campaign is hoping to get people thinking by turning a familiar argument inside out. From San Francisco, Tara Seiler reports that jobs are being offered if people are willing to do some hard work.
If you're a U.S. citizen, you can sign up and be trained to become a farm worker. That's right, you can pick strawberries, peaches, melons, and all sorts of other produce. A strong back helps, as people can expect to work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, often bent over. So take our jobs, please. That's the tongue-in-cheek campaign slogan by the United Farm Workers Union. It's turning the table on the argument that those here illegally are taking away American jobs. The campaign comes on the heels of tough new immigration laws in Arizona and ongoing debate about the fate of some 12 million immigrants living in the U.S. without documents. More than a million illegal immigrants toil in U.S. fields on a seasonal basis. The UFW is not really expecting too many takers. The goal, according to the union, is to spotlight the need for agricultural and immigration reform. A bill to extend temporary work permits for undocumented farm workers has stalled in Congress for more than a year. The Take Our Jobs campaign will get some big publicity when Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert features it on The Colbert Report on July 8th. For Latino USA, I'm Tara Seiler.
Cesar Chavez said the fight is never about grapes or lettuce. It's always about people. You can stay connected to Latino USA and the news throughout the week. Just visit us anytime online at latinousa.org or follow us on Twitter. We are Latino USA, all one word. I'm Katie Davis in Washington.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. The beat. It's the simplest unit of time in music. Put a few together and you have a measure. A few more and the groove of a song comes together. Percussionist and composer Dafnis Prieto is a master of the beat. Originally from Santa Clara, Cuba, Dafnis came to New York 10 years ago and has been described as being the most impressive young drummer to come onto the jazz scene during the past decade. He's performed and recorded with dozens of jazz musicians, including Henry Threadgill, Michel Camilo, and Roy Hargrove. His latest CD is called Dafnis Prieto, COC Quartet, live at the Jazz Standard in New York City, and we're pleased to have him on Latino USA. Thanks for joining us, Dafnis.
Well, thank you, Maria. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm glad we're doing this.
So tell me, when you first got to New York 10 years ago, you were already an established musician in Cuba, and you get to New York and you get to your first jazz club. What went on for you?
Well, a lot of things, because the old jazz clubs and the whole scene, it was actually in my mind as a imaginative reference and, you know, books and photos and stories. So for me, it was actually a bless and almost like a dream come true to see all these things with my own eyes. It was I was very excited and astonished to see that.
You know, there are a lot of people that don't know how much the musical relationship between the United States and Cuba, specifically New York, Havana, in terms of jazz, the days of Dizzy Gillespie and Chano Pozo. But Afro-Cuban music and jazz, you know, I mean, don't they have like very distinct and different beats? You know, jazz has kind of swing, but music in Cuba revolves around the clave. So I was wondering if, for our listeners, you wouldn't mind kind of clapping out the two different roots, basically, that make Latin jazz, the clave, and whatever you bring from jazz or you hear from jazz. Would you clap that out for us?
Yeah, sure. Well, we have various different kind of claves in Cuba, but the most known are the son clave or the rumba clave. And the son clave does something like this. One, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two. And the rumba clave or guaguancó clave actually does 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And mostly what happened in New Orleans, because when we talk about jazz, we have to talk about New Orleans, and that influence that came from Cuba, that trade and bridge that used to be from New Orleans to Havana, And you can see that very well in the parades or second line music that you see in New Orleans, as well as in the carnival, you know, versus the carnival in Cuba and the parades music in Cuba. You can see actually some of the same rhythms, but just played with a different feel. So that's, you know, in New Orleans they do it with a more swing feel, and then in Cuba they do a more straight eight.
So, like, how would it sound? Can you clap it out with a more of a swing
feel? I can sing something for you. So
okay.
Something would be, this is, I'm going to sing the Cuban part and then the New Orleans part, and
okay,
then go
great.
Back and forth, okay? So it would be chika ta ching ta kun cha ki ke cha ku chika ta ta chika ta chung ta kun cha ki ke cha ku chika ta ta chika ta chung ta kun cha kun chang ke cheng ke ton ta chika ta ke chik ta kun ta kun ta keng ke cheng ke ton ta chika ta ke chik ta kun ta ko pa ta ku chika kun ka chika ta chi ti ta kun kong.
Well, congratulations, Daphnis, for all of these good things that have been happening to you in your career here in New York City, and all good luck to you. Thanks for great music.
Oh, thank you, Mary. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Daphnis Prieto is a jazz percussionist and composer based in New York City. His latest album is Daphnis Prieto, COC Quartet, live at Jazz Standard, New York City. Gracias, Daphnis.
Gracias, un placer.
Está plena, me alegra el corazón. Está plena, me brinda satisfacción. Con el requinto y el cerro.
Known as El Periódico Cantado, which means the newspaper that is sung, Plena music features hand drums called panderos and lyrics that tell stories ranging from the satirical to the political.
Con el requinto y el seguidor y esta melodía.
Plena has also been a source of inspiration for many, many musicians. The latest, the Puerto Rican-born composer and saxophonist Miguel Zenón. He was the recipient of the prestigious Guggenheim and MacArthur Fellowships in 2008, and the result of those fellowships is his research, and it's the latest album called Esta Plena. Miguel Zenón joins me here at the NPR studios in New York. Welcome to the program, Miguel.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, it took us a long time to get you here.
Yeah, it did.
You are a busy, busy jazz musician, which is a wonderful thing, right?
It is. It is a wonderful thing. I'm very, very grateful. Yeah.
So when you spent some time researching Plena, it also meant that you ended up spending a lot of time in Puerto Rico, in Santurce, and it meant that you had to basically be on your toes as a musician and be prepared to play Plena on the street,
right,
and sing and see how you could hold up in la calle.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
What was that like?
Well, It was interesting. You know, as a kid growing up, it's very common to find yourself in one of this kind of street kind of things, or in a parranda, as we call it, like this Christmas thing we do where we go to people's houses and play. And I did some of that as a kid, but I'd never really thought about it as anything special. I just thought about it as something that people did, you know. And, you know, as the years went by, I started hanging out with a lot more pleneros, people that are involved in this kind of music, and I started kind of thinking about putting some together. And as you said, when I went down there working on this project, I found myself, you know, playing a lot more and hanging a lot, you know, like this kind of street kind of jams and sessions kind of plan of things. I went to Mayagüez, to Ponce, to San Juan, to all the different places, interview a lot of people, and really immersed myself in it.
So what did you learn? Well, I mean, kind of in your core, not just about the music, but about you as a Miguel Zenón, as a Puerto Rican jazz musician. What did you learn from all of this?
I guess the main thing that I was looking for when I was studying plena, because plena is actually very simple music. You know, it's almost like our carnival music. It's music that anybody can learn really easily, and you can dance to really easily. You can kind of feel it, and the way I think of it, it's music that is very omnipresent in all aspects of Puerto Rican culture. I mean, you go to a baseball game, you find it there. You go to a funeral, you find it. I mean, anybody comes up with a song, like you start singing Happy Birthday. In Puerto Rico, you sing it with a plena rhythm. I mean, people do this naturally.
Okay, so now you're going to have to sing.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are. So how does it go? Happy birthday to you. No, because they do it in the Dominican Republic where my husband is from, and it's done to a merengue beat. So I need you to, I know you're blushing,
no.
But I need you to sing that for me in the plena form, as if we were in Puerto Rico.
If you were singing Cumpleaños Feliz, you would go, Cumpleaños feliz, cumpleaños, 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 feliz. You know, something like that.
I know you're like, this is silly, but probably many, many people who are listening to us have never heard that song sung that way.
And it's something for me. I mean, as I said before, when I was there, I mean, this was very natural. But once I saw it from the outside, I realized was very special. So most people didn't think about it in the sense of this being like this special music that's from us. You know, it's so embedded in people.
¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? De mi lista, ¿qué será? Hoy yo pienso en su futuro y no sé qué va a pasar. ¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? De mi lista, ¿qué será? Hoy yo pienso en su futuro y no sé qué va a pasar.
¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? De mi lista, ¿qué será? Hoy yo pienso en su futuro y no sé qué va a pasar. ¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? De mi lista, ¿qué será? Hoy yo pienso en su futuro y no sé qué va a pasar. ¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? De mi lista, ¿qué será? Hoy yo pienso en su futuro y no sé qué va a pasar. ¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? De mi lista, ¿qué será? Hoy yo pienso en su futuro.
So you really capture this whole idea about plena as really being based on content, on the message, on the fact that it was like a newspaper. And you do this with your song, ¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? And of course, the main line of the chorus is the question, ¿Qué será de Puerto Rico? What's going to happen to Puerto Rico, to the future of Puerto Rico? And you follow with questions that deal with the loss of culture, deal with political corruption, deal with the economy. So that's like some pretty deep stuff that you're talking about in the process of, you know, a jazz plena song.
Plena has always been tied to protest, you know, to political protest. And this is something that's a very, very kind of integral part of the plena tradition. And I didn't want to really put that aside. I wanted to try to grasp as much of the tradition as possible, especially when I was writing the lyrics. And, I had to have something like this in there.
The name of the CD is called Esta Plena, and we've been speaking with the wonderful Miguel Zenon. Thanks so much for joining us on Latino USA.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Miguel Zenon's latest album is Esta Plena. It's available from Marsalis Music. In a minute, desde los llanos hasta las calles de Nueva York, music from harpist Edmar Castañeda, coming up on Latino USA, quédense con nosotros. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. From the plains of Colombia, the musical stylings of joropo have easily defined that South American nation with its use of guitars, maracas, and most importantly, the harp. Harpist and composer Edmar Castañeda grew up with that tradition, yet he's been quick to set himself apart by combining the folkloric music with the upbeat rhythms of Latin jazz. Since moving to the United States in 1994, Castañeda has performed with numerous greats, including Chico O'Farrell, and he's made a name for himself by exploring new directions in jazz. His latest album is called Entre Cuerdas, and he joins me now in New York City. Welcome to Latino USA, Edmar.
Thank you.
All right, so harp, really big instrument, and you're really small. Like me. I was like, wait a second, because on your CD cover, it looks like you're carrying the harp. What drew you to this instrument? Was it growing up in Colombia and seeing that the harp is kind of played all the time? What was it for you?
Yeah, I started as a dancer in Colombia when I was 7 years old with folk music, música llanera, music from the plains of Colombia and Venezuela. Then, you know, the harp is the main instrument of that music. So that's when I saw it, and I was like, wow, that instrument has a lot of strings, you know? And then I started at 13 playing the harp.
There's something that you do. I think the entire CD is really surprising. You don't immediately think of the harp and jazz, and yet you've really made it flow. When did you decide that you wanted to kind of go in that direction of not traditional, but really pushing the boundaries?
I started as a traditional, learning traditional music. When I got to this country, I met jazz, you know, for the first time. And I was like, wow, this music is great, you know. And then I went to college and I studied trumpet because they didn't have harp, you know. So I learned all the elements of jazz and just apply on the harp with my Latin flavor.
One song that I really loved is called Colibri. Uh-huh. Happens to be that I love the colibri. So for those of you who don't know, a colibri is a hummingbird. And in this song, you really get that sense of, you know, the fast-paced kind of staccato way of the hummingbird. But I wonder what it's like to play the harp with that kind of speed and precision.
I don't know, I really like tradition. It has a lot of influence from llanera music, and it also has influence from flamenco, bulería. That song has those two parts. They are very similar to llanera music. And then it's just that Colombian or llanera music has a lot of, you play fast and really percussive and aggressive way. So I wrote that tune, you know, trying to imitate the bird in the beginning and then just go more flamenco, more strong, and then really fun. And I actually, in that tune was a great vibraphone player, Joe Lack, as a guest.
You're the leader of the Edmar Castañeda trio now, and that includes you, a trombone player and a drummer. And in many ways, the harp can cover the sounds of many instruments. You can play bass, you can play, you know, make it kind of like a percussive instrument. So when you're putting together this trio, how did you decide the instruments that you wanted to include?
Yes, first of all, what I do on the harp is it's like two instruments in one. At the same time, you play the bass lines and like a piano on the other hand. So it sounds like two instruments in one. And then when I decide to put this trio together, the trombone is not a usual instrument either. So it's
not
balanced.
For a trio, no.
Now with the harp and trombone, it's like, wow.
Yeah. you came to New York and you had that first experience with jazz, what was that like? Because it's true, I mean, in Colombia, it's not like you can kind of go out on every night and see a bunch of different jazz groups playing. I mean, certainly in Bogota, there's a jazz scene. But the jazz scene here in New York, what did that do to you as a musician?
It was like, wow, this music, you can improvise, you can play what you feel. So that, I really like that part of that music. And that's like, it's in Colombia, like the traditional llanera music, you improvise a lot.
Oh, really?
So it was a great connection there.
I didn't realize that in the llaneras, you improvise.
Yeah, a lot. You know, you just improvise and follow the singer. And then after that, you, in the middle, you just improvise and play what you feel. So it's like jazz, but in Colombia.
Where do you most enjoy playing? Is it when you go back to Colombia and, you know, people kind of say, wow, what did Edmar do to the llaneras? Is that the funnest part, or is it going to places where maybe they've never heard this kind of music?
I think anywhere that, you know, you go, it's really special. We just came, like, for a month of tour in Europe. You know, people haven't seen the instrument applying in this kind of music, so it's really great to see people, how they react, and, you know, they say, wow, you can groove on the harp.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA and for bringing this very particular sound to the world. Thank you, Edmar.
Thank you very much.
Edmar Castañeda's newest album, Entre Cuerdas, is available through edmarcastañeda.com. For more information, check our own website at latinousa.org. For this week, that's Latino USA. The program comes to you from the Futuro Media Group, online at futuromediagroup.org, and is produced in cooperation with KUT Austin. You can stay connected to Latino USA throughout the week at latinousa.org, or for news, follow us on Twitter. We are Latino USA, all one word. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finish and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.